Bess, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Hey, your talk is called Accessible America, A History of Disability and Design. Before we talk about it, give me some of your background.
Sure. Well, I'm pleased to be returning to Delaware. I received my PhD at the university in 2011. But I teach in a design school. I primarily teach the history of design. But I came to this topic through studying the way that designers, you know, are seeking to improve the world, are engaging with social issues, and sort of came across realizing that the subject really hadn't been historically investigated.
So why are you bringing your talk to Delaware?
My newish book at this point, Accessible America, describes a shift in the ways that Americans approach public spaces, technologies, everyday products with in terms of thinking about disability. And the Hagley Center specifically hosts a number of archives by key industrial designers who worked on this subject. So I actually started out there. The industrial designer who designed the Cuisinart, that sort of white block whirring food processor, has his papers there, and the Cuisinart was based on some studies of arthritis and other manual impairments, so that it's quite easy to use for a range of abilities.
Yeah, you write, accessible design is a relatively recent phenomenon, a true product of the 20th century, in that changing attitudes about disability and civil rights prompted design forms that had never been seen. You give examples, bumpy surfaces on the sidewalk or added new requirements and meanings for familiar objects like ramps and slopes. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. You know, for those of us who have been alive for more than, 40, 50 years or even longer, we might remember a time when, a curb cut wasn't as commonly expected, when, captions on videos were only to be found in like a special section or ordered through a doctor, right? So these have become very common, familiar tools. Sometimes we don't even really think about, enlarging the text on our phones or things like that. And my research shows that while, of course, disabled people and their families have always made adaptations to their homes, to products, in order to make day-to-day life easier, this really became a public issue, right? A public concern for buses, for architecture, for the public space. In the post-World War II period, basically with the return of disabled veterans from World War II and the generation that was affected by polio.
What's the main message here? A two-part question. What's the main message here, and what's the takeaway from people who come to your author talk?
I think the main message is that design in everyday life really matters, right? The small details can make a big difference in terms of sending a message of inclusion, of identifying that disability is a part of everyday life, right? It's not a separate or shameful or taboo subject, but it's something that all of us are likely to experience in our lifetimes. And so having it be part of the everyday environment and integrated as well as possible into design is something that really benefits the broad society. Tell me your second question there, sorry.
Well, I was wondering what you expect people to take away.
I would love for people to come to the talk. I really emphasize a lot of great stories of individuals changing their spaces. The story of disabled veterans and other people with disabilities in the post-war period who are changing their own home lives all the way up to the present, when we see sort of groundbreaking new projects that integrate disability into, familiar and attractive products for everyday life.
Copies of your book available at the talk for people to buy and for you to sign?
Of course, always happy to sign a book.